fallback per se, even though it's a good fallback.
Yeah.
But take it for the take it in December as the learning experience of taking a test before you take the BOC.
Right.
Well, then you can get, you'll sit in a room, you'll take the written test.
You'll do the practical.
Room, you'll do the practical.
Right.
Yeah.
And the practical is a little different on the BOC.
Yeah.
But it's still the same.
Right.
And for the LAT, you have to have how many hours documented?
1,800, I think.
1,800?
Yeah, right around there.
I think I have half that right now. So.
Yeah, so you may be able to sit, and they may say you can sit at a, before that, but you've got to meet all these other criteria. Now, you know, we're off subject, but if you get BOC, you just pay for your LAT. You just don't have to sit for your LAT, but I think it's a good experience to take that. So anyway, all right, we're off topic. We're back on.
Sorry, that's good. Actually, I had 10 started recording, so I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Oh, okay, then.
So that's excellent. Again, this runs continually, just so you know, hopefully you
we were appropriate.
All right, so here we got Bubba Wilson. He was talking about, what was the title of it? ACL
A new way to look at an old problem, paradigm shift in ACL rehab.
Paradigm shift in ACL rehab. There we go. All right, so this I didn't get to hear the talk because I was in here. But I know we mentioned this earlier this year or something like that. You said you were doing some research with Crombie. So it'd be good for me to sit here and hope that I can sit here and listen to all this. But we got Daniel Young from Katie Taylor, Bubba Wilson, obviously representing Memorial Hermann, and Will Ryan representing the University of Houston Masters of Athletic Training Program. So without much further ado, tell us about the paradigm shift in ACL rehab. Bubba?
Well, as I told everybody in there that hopefully we're listening and not sleeping, when I worked with Dr. Lowe, I got frustrated beyond belief when I'd get phone calls from therapists, athletic trainers, parents, whatever it was, because everything's on the internet now or whatever, and they'd look and they'd say, my athlete, my kid was just in to see Dr. Lowe, and he's at 12 weeks, and the protocol says he can run, but Dr. Lowe won't let him run. Okay? But the protocol says 12 weeks. Well, so then you would have to do a little research and ferret out some. So my first questions were always, well, what is their extension? I didn't really care. I care about flexion, but I didn't care about it as much as I wanted extension. What's your extension? Well, they lack a little bit. Let's define a little bit. Oh, about 5 degrees. Okay, they lack a lot. Are they swollen? Yes. Okay, so their quad's inhibited. Can they walk without a limp? Well, not always. And you want them to run. Well, that's what the protocol says. And you'd be like, oh. So I wanted a criteria-based protocol. And so I went to Kingwood Park, and I would just say, Daniel, you're not ready. I don't care what the internet says. You're not going. And I'll tell the doctor you're not ready. You know. And then when I came to Memorial Hermann, I got the calls again. And so it really spearheaded me to get going with this, and it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought, hey, it's a little 3-page document. It'll be nothing to it. No, it's now about 35 pages long. But it's all research-backed, validated, so everything we're asking them to complete as a criteria to advance to the next phase, to go from immediate post-surgical in a brace on crutches, to get off crutches, out of the brace, to be able to jog, you must meet these criteria. To go from jogging to jumping, you must meet other criteria. And to go from jumping to agility, it's this. And then from that to full clearance is another set. So everything's research-backed and validated. And so now we just want to publish the protocol, because there's nothing out there published from criteria base that goes from post-op to clearance. Most everything's in the clearance side. And so we want to have everything in there with no really weekly, monthly time constraints on there. As my point is, you're ready when you're ready, whenever that is.
All right, so you just said 35 pages.
Yes.
All right, so is that ready to go, or it's still in
progress? We got a little wordsmithing and some other things to do with that. It's pretty much ready to go. Dr. Lowe's got it in his hands right now to look at it and bless it. But basically, 35 pages seems daunting, but it's the criteria phases, it's every test within that phase, how to perform that test, and the research behind those tests. So it's not just 35 pages of reading that you got to commit to memory. It's showing why we're wanting to do what we're doing, and to make it simple for somebody to pick up and go, this is what we want to do, here's how you can do it. So
Will, here's another tip. Take that and use it as your doctoral or your master's thesis right there. Just get this 35 pages, it's probably long enough. Good?
Sounds good. Thank you.
There's too many pictures and diagrams. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and take it away.
All right, so I heard part of the discussion. I was in here listening to another interview, and we talked before.
Right.
So to kind of piggyback on that and let everybody else know, I'm not a cookie cutter kind of guy for rehab. I don't think you are either, of just do these specific things. So besides just giving everybody the opportunity to have a rehab that they can follow based on research, the other side of that is to get all the doctors on the same page.
Correct.
So now you can have everybody
speaking the same language.
Exactly.
We want them to speak the same language, but at the same time, we want them to do it because we want to collect data off this. Does this really work like we think it's going to work? We don't know. So we've got to validate this protocol. And the only way to do that is have a group standardized that says, this is what we're going to do. And then we're going to start out small. Basically, right now at the Ironmans, and all of them are going to ultimately have an iskinetic testing device. They've all got handheld dynamometers. Again, like I said, I'm looking at a redneck version of how to look at some of, you know, checking our symmetry of strength and other things. But looking at those, and then if it's kind of trending how we think it is, then we're going to branch out. Every clinic will have handheld dynamometers at a minimum. But at the same time, if you're at the Katy clinic but you need an iskinetic test, we can roll you down to the Memorial City clinic and get a test done, no problem. You know, to drop into that file if we feel that it needs to have isokinetic tests. That's something we're looking at. It could just be handheld dynamometer. We don't know. Again, why we want to collect data. But then from there, teach the other Memorial Hermann therapists at all the clinics to say, if you want to do, in my opinion, if you want to do sports rehab, you better know how to do this starting point. And everybody's doing the same thing, doing the same test, speaking the same language to our doctors. And now we're consistent with what we're doing, and we can really validate this and have good numbers to either say, this is good, or it needs some tweaking, or what were you thinking? You wasted a lot of time. It doesn't work. But you don't know that until you get into it.
Well, no, Bubba, I'm sorry, if I can interrupt here. When you guys are talking about protocol, can you describe some of the specific outcomes that you're looking for?
Well, the ultimate outcome is, as I said, in the simplest ways, is everybody thinks 6 months to get returned to play, okay? Those people are few and far between that at 6 months can go through all the drills and everything and not be in the way, and the coaches get mad and they're frustrated. That's Adrian Peterson. He's a man child. That was his job, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. Okay, we all know how difficult it is to get any athlete in every day in a training room or 3 days a week in a therapy clinic. You've got tons of distractions, financial impact, all that. On the other side of that are your multi-ligaments, your Navarro Bowman from the 49ers, who he was about a year before he was back. Okay, everybody else fits in kind of the middle 9 months. At 9 months, they can function. They can go through drills with their team. They're not in the way. They're not tripping over their feet. The coach isn't frustrated with them. But if you talk to them at 11 months, they go, I don't even think about my knee anymore. That's what we want. That's the ultimate goal. You know, you're going to have an outlier kid that's going to be early. Well, if the physician thinks he's ready to go and he's met all the criteria, that's on the physician. That's great.
Well, I'm sure I would say that you probably have an outlier.
Right. And those you've got to go look at. Are they just, they don't want to play anymore and they're just going through the motions? You know, are they just bad genetics? You know, and it takes them a lot longer to heal because they were so quick to get injured off something, you know? And again, we'll look at all that. Part of this documentation that we're going to do.
Is there a psychological readiness test?
Yes. Tampa kinesiophobia scale, and then the IKDC is part of it as well. So again, it's not just how you feel. Great. Okay, woo. We're making them fill out a questionnaire. Now, we don't know right now, is that questionnaire going to be filled out in the clinic or the training room, or is it going to be filled out in the physician's office? We're looking at some ways to have some kiosk in the physician's office to do that. We may duplicate those efforts early and look at differences on what they say there versus what they say with you. We don't know yet. That stuff we can work out later, you know. And we may go, this is too time-consuming. Make them do it in the waiting room. So we'll see.
I like it because it gives me a functional progression of the overall release point based on criteria.
Right.
Instead of me just going, all right, well, in order to do jumping, you have to do this. In order to jog, you have to do this. And it gives them a visual representation,
right,
too, of what they have to meet in order to go on.
Right.
So instead of me just saying, well, you have to jump up and down. Oh, look, I can jump up and down. And it looks horrible. It's like, no, you don't understand. It's got to look perfect.
Right.
Now it gives them an actual format to follow.
Well, if you take single leg squat test. Let's say they can meet everything on that criteria but single leg squat test for 1 minute. Well, we know where we've got to go for a while, what we've got to work on. So you can say, these look good, but look at this. And maybe it's nothing more than you videotape them on your iPad or your phone and go, no. you know, to show them how bad they're, this is what we got to step it up and work on. You know, this thing you really don't like doing, you've got to do this or you don't go any further right now.
Exactly.
Are there different protocols for male and female?
No.
We're going to follow the same protocol.
Same protocol.
And well, so, obviously, Daniel, I'm sorry for keeping on interrupting.
Oh, go ahead.
So, obviously, with the female, right, there's a larger Q angle and
right.
some other factors that are in there. So, everybody's going through the same glute beat training. Everybody's going through the same BMO training. Everybody's going through the same.
Posterior chain, all that.
All of
it. It's a matter of when do they start it? How long do we focus on a certain area? That's the individual. We know... If you look at Q angle and all that, quad firing and all that in females, we know it's different, but in essence, the progression to get that good is a similar progression for a male. It just may take a little longer.
Right.
So nothing changes other than, again, you're ready when you're ready.
Well, that and the it's a progression system, but it's not detailing out every single step you have to do.
No, we don't. Again, you don't want it. You don't want a cookbook.
Right.
We're going to say, hey, you know, in this, we know while we're jogging, when we're going to get ready to start jumping, we got to have posterior chain. That's when we're working on it. We don't work on it after we start jumping and realize they're bad. We work on it ahead of time. And we're going to get, you know, that's the other thing we're looking at doing is maybe getting a library of exercises. You want to work on this area? Here's some things you can do. And doing pictures and video, we don't know. There's a lot of ways we can go with this. We've still got to get the basic document out first. And, you know, and some of our doctors are seeing guys not just from the Houston area. So you get a kid from, I'm a Baylor grad, you get a kid from Baylor that's coming in for the summer or is going back that had surgery down here. Here's what we look for. Not what you want. This is what we look for.
Right.
Go get them ready for that.
Right.
You know, because ultimately that physician is putting their stamp of approval on that kid being cleared to participate.
And it's a very objective criteria.
Right, right, and that's what's taken us so long to,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right, and so this is what we're talking, you know, when everybody is wondering, you know, obviously when the BOC came out and said, okay, you have to have 10 hours of evidence-based practice.
Right.
This is what we're talking about, right? Because now what you're really addressing is that you're addressing a situation where, hey, look, in the past we did this because it was either told to me or this is what I was told it was going to work or this is what I saw in the clinic.
Or conventionally, this is what we've done, yeah.
Right. And now it's one of those things to say, look, the evidence says this, and exactly what you're addressing, Daniel, is that it's one of those things of, you know, hey, listen, I'm not a cookie-cutter type person, and I don't have to follow this specific protocol, and it sounds like this packet that you're putting together addresses all of this, that it's one of those things of, this is what I want to achieve, this is how you achieve it, these are the outcomes and the objectives that need to be in place, and this is the protocol that we're going to follow, and everybody's going to be on the same field.
Right, but we're going to give you the latitude. If you like this exercise over that, who cares?
Right.
Go do it. You know, and we all get in a rut. You know, how long do I got to do straight leg raises? Well, now I'm going to tell you you're going to do them until you can do 30 of them without a lag. And then we're going to progress to something else. And if you can't do that, keep going, brother, because, you know, you're not going anywhere else. You know, as opposed to saying, well, we need to do something different because it's weak whatever. No, we can't meet this checkbox, so we're not going to go any further right now.
I like it.
So, and regarding an athlete who, you know, isn't progressing as well as you want them to, are you also looking at any, you know, physiological or anatomical differences between the outlier of, you know, an Adrian Peterson type versus someone who takes a year and a half, you know, such as like the patellar mobility is, you know, different. Maybe this athlete has these keloid scars that just aren't moving well. Are you also looking at that in addition to the functional tests that
those are some of the things we've talked about, what we're going to do with. We don't know yet. I think we've got to get into this and play around with it and see where it's going and mm-hmm. where it trends, you know. And then, but I think, again, that comes back to the individuality. And so if you've got those issues, at some point, as the athletic trainer or the therapist or whoever, I got to pick up a phone and call the doctor and say, they've been plateaued for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going somewhere. Do you want us to shut them down? Do you want them to come in and put it back on the physician at that point? You know, the easy one is the kid that's progressing too well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the doctor says, no, you can't do it, so we're not going any further. Those are the easy ones. They're more of a pain in the butt. But I want to go. That's a good problem to have. It's those kids that don't care or that truly have something going on. Did they scar in their anterior interval? Well, if we're doing this right, they shouldn't have. But maybe that meniscal tear that got trimmed has a little flap. That, again, you know, we're staying swollen. We're We're having these mechanical symptoms. That's where I've got to pick a phone and say, hey, you need to see them again. Something's not right. And then put it back on that physician to look at them and go, all right, let's do A, B, and C, and then we're going to begin back on it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I don't think we can look at research and say we want to build that in. We've got to look at how the data flows off doing this protocol and then see. I don't think you put in a standard at this area if they're not doing this, pick up the phone. That could be picking up phone at 2 weeks post-op, you know, or 20 weeks post-op. So who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, as I said in there, when you do knee rehab, it's all based off one protocol anyway, except for, you know, posterior lateral corners, posterior, you know, cruciates. Some of those are different, but basic ACL, MCL, patellofemoral, meniscal, you know, most meniscal stuff, you can do the same protocol. The things are same. When can they have motion? When can they bear weight? We progress from there. And I think you can take this, after we work on this, we're going to look at shoulder, we're going to look at, they've got something for the spine, which I hate the spine, so I don't really care. We're going to look at ankles, we're going to look at some other stuff and say, can we do the same thing for those? And I think we can, but we've got to get one done well first before we start. I don't want to get too many, you know, cooks in the kitchen and nothing's good.
Too many hats.
You know, we need to get this one squared away, and here it is, let it go do its thing, and we're going to start working on the next one.
Yeah, I think it's, assess anything you want.
Right.
But you need to make sure that the assessment model is, again, reliable and valid to what you want to test. And, you know, are you producing the results that you want to produce?
Right.
And once you identify the outcomes and the objectives, then you can say, okay, this is, you know, we need to be able to mine this data. Or maybe we're not even mining the right data. Maybe we had something in place and we need to go mine that data instead of that.
Right.
And then once you have that basic platform in place, you can go apply that to anything. That's right.
I like it for a lot of reasons. I like it because it's stuff we're already doing,
right?
Or at least it's stuff we should be doing. And it sounds a lot. It sounds like a lot. 35 pages probably going to be a little more.
Right. But it is, but it isn't. You know, when you, right. if you were to see it, I've got it. I can show you a copy. You go, oh, okay.
Right, it's not like it's going to be completely new stuff. For the most part, almost everybody practicing should be following similar standards.
You hope, yes.
We hope. You're just putting it on a timeline, and given, you know, a checkbox option of what we should look for, what they have to meet, and it's already stuff we're doing. I like it.
Well, and if you look at the kid that wasn't ready and they start jogging, like, oh, I'm swollen, so you got to back them off. It hurts. I've lost motion. I can't do this. Well, why are we pushing something that's not ready to go? Let's be ready,
right.
Because the odds are pretty good when we start. We know we're going to have a setback somewhere. One's better than multiple. So let's hope. And that setback, if we have it, is very short lived. It's going to happen. You know, but here we go. And so I was sore for a day and a little swollen, but I got over that. I was good. It was just something new, and we're off. And so we're not having those problems. We just keep on keeping on.
But it also, you know, gives you a visual of, you know, here's the timeline, or not to use timeline, but here's the protocol. And then you need to be able to go through it in this very stepwise progression and say, you know, one and then two and then three. I can't go from 1 to 10.
Right.
And then figure out, okay, well, you know,
right, like how do I bridge the gap?
And two. And then, you know, let's say you get to 9 and 10 and then you experience some sort of setback. Go back to 9.
Right.
Okay, what happened? Right, and then start to look at it.
Right.
I think
it's very similar when you look at it that way. It's like a return to play from a concussion.
Uh-huh.
Baby steps.
That's right.
And we start progressing more and more. Similar to this. Post-op immediately, it's pain management, swelling management. We got to get our extension. You know, nothing else matters.
Right.
And then we get that, we start working towards those other things, but we don't go off those crutches and out of that brace until we can do these things, because we're not able to safely do those things if we don't.
Right.
You know, we're setting them up to fail.
And I think the other thing too is that from a, you know, if I address it from a, you know, legal liability issue, you're an athletic trainer and you've got the coach breathing down your neck, or, you know, you've got the general manager, the president of the team, or whatever it is breathing down your neck. Hey, when is this person going to be able to return? You know, now you have some objective data to show, look, they need to be at, I'm just throwing out a number, a 20.
Right.
And right now they're at an 8. And we're not gonna even consider bringing them back until they're at a 20, period. And then I can, you know, hey, coach, I can give you, you
you know, daily updates. Okay, today they're at a 10, today they're at a
15. Right.
But until we get to that 20, we're not going any further. You know,
to me, in that, for, you know, the athlete speech, parent speak, coach speak is, when are they going to be back? How hard are they willing to work? How well do they heal? That's it. You know? Some people heal. Why do we x-ray a broken bone at 6 weeks? Because in theory it should be healed, but not always is it. Well, they're at 6 weeks. Wow, we get away from that. How well do they heal? They're healing great. They're not working very hard. They're not ready. They don't have quad tone. They don't have good symmetry.
And that's the psychological part of it. You know, hey, listen, physically they're really coming back, but mentally they're not there yet. Unless we're able to kind of, you know, complete that chain, complete that gap, it doesn't matter. We can produce the bionic man or woman out there.
But if they don't think they can run and jump and cut,
they can do it, then they're not.
Right. And I think that's where we get in trouble. We put them out there too quick when they're not able to do that. And it takes them another 2-3 months or more for them to finally go, oh, I can do this.
Right. One of the things that I did when I was obviously practicing consistently is I always say we're going to return to the scene of the crime.
Yes.
And that, let's say it was a football player, I'd always bring him out and I'd run the exact play.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they take, you know, let's say it was receiver and I'd go into, you know, it's a 5 and out and they'd go 1, 2, 3, 4 and stop. I can't do it. Why? You know, if I look at the isokinetic data, I can clearly show you that you're 125% of your unaffected leg. I can show you that you can do all these other things. Now we've identified this weak part, right? That mental part.
Right.
Of let's go through and tell you this was just a freak accident, and we don't work pretty confident that this isn't going to happen again. And so we have to be able to get over that hump.
And that's that Tampa scale. You know, we're getting that in writing. We're going to see, ooh, you still got some issues you're dealing with. We're not ready to go any further right now.
And so will you also employ a sports psychologist in this protocol?
Briefly, we've touched on it. We haven't gotten into that yet. Again, we needed to get this to a working document that we could – and that may be one of those things as we start – maybe we start seeing some of these numbers come out that are really, really bad. And I've played around with some of those, like the AKDC and the Tampa on some kids I was helping out with. And, you know, I'm ready. Okay, let's do this. And one of them was. Mentally, he was ready to go. You know, and the other one was close but not there yet. So it would be interesting. I want to see what those show. You know, that'd be interesting to see on that. And maybe if they stay, you know, in bad numbers, you go, well, maybe it's time you go see somebody. And again, to me, now we're doing our job as well.
Right.
We're identifying a problem that we can go get them help with.
Right. Well, that helps me because the times that I actually tell parents to go see a sports psychologist because your kid seems a little down or he's not his normal self, it actually gives them more visual input that they can look at and say, well, yeah, he has been here for a while. Maybe we should see somebody.
You're telling me on a visual analog scale he's a 6, you know, to throw out a time from 6 months after surgery, that's not good. This scale is bad, and this one's bad, and he's not swollen. He's something's different.
Yeah,
you know,
we're at a place where we need to go and find some more answers.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
Well, I think this is a really exciting time for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I was coming through, we just didn't have this, right? And we didn't have these people that were.
They didn't have isokinetics when he was coming through.
Yeah, we did. We put him on like a tricycle, and okay, let's.
Yeah.
And so I think the field of athletic training now is just exploding with, you know, this, you know, education is now moving to an entry level master's. You have people like Bubba out there that's collecting all this data. You know, it's very progressive, all these other things, and I think you're hitting it right at the right time. I'm really excited for you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess there are no more questions for Bubba.
No, we're good, I think.
All right, so we're going to take a little break here. So for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, this is Dr. Josh Yellen. Thank you very much for Bubba and Will and Daniel for participating. And I'll throw in a little plug for our Master of Athletic Training program at the University of Houston. Go look us up, www.hhp.uh.edu/MAT.